from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company, the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes and JP. I learned something about my man crush during the break, Valdez. Wes Moore was married by an Elvis impersonator.
I did not know that.
Apparently he came back from Afghanistan, got married in Vegas by an Elvis impersonator.
Very good.
So there you go. Learn that nugget.
Solid nugget.
All right, we're going to learn some nuggets about the Commanders here shortly from our pal Craig Hoffman, who, of course, you can hear on 980. And I believe Seehoff is with us now. What's up, Craig?
What's going on, boys?
Well, just getting geared up for the football season. You've been out to Commanders training camp. Have you been there every day? Or
Not every day, but most days. This does feel like old times. I'm talking to you guys. I'm at camp. I'm like, am I back on the beat? What am I doing here?
Well, I know that you put out a tweet about Jamin Davis, which was interesting. Can you fill us in on what you've seen from Jamin Davis, of course, first-round draft pick by Ron Rivera? So that's the previous regime, and they're trying to make him into a stud defensive end. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, so this kind of started on my show. We did a positional preview for every single – or a group preview for every single position. And as you start to go through the numbers and kind of at each position, okay, this position seems to have too many guys, this position seems to have too many guys, then you get to the linebackers and you start going through it on the depth chart, you just realize it's a math problem for Jamin Davis. He is, you know, probably fourth at least, if not fifth, on the linebacker depth chart. They're trying him at defensive end to see if he can convert to that position and become this situational pass rusher. And the reality of the situation is that's really, really hard to do. Like, being an elite pass rusher in this league is obviously difficult. There aren't that many of them. Being a really good pass rusher in this league is really hard. There aren't that many of them. And so if you're going to be a situational player who has no special teams experience, making a roster becomes really hard. And so it's not like some outlandish, like, oh, my God, I think Jamin Davis is in trouble. It's a math problem that Jamin Davis, you know, is going to have to solve here to make this roster and either pop at one of these special teams or as a special teams player, which he certainly has a chance to based off his physical traits, and as a pass rusher where you become really valuable even if it's only in a situational, you know, third down, 2 minute where it's obvious passing situation. So I think that's kind of where it started, and I guess it blew up a little bit over the weekend as some of the aggregators were like, oh, that's an interesting math problem.
So Craig, our showmate EB wants all of the credit when Jamin Davis is somehow magically transformed into a poor man's Micah Parsons by Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. and this defensive staff, and he just keeps singing the praises of, well, he's got the same sort of athletic measurables as Micah Parsons. And it's like, okay, he can be close to him in height and weight and, you know, combine tests. Right. But
talent level.
But like when you're
out
on the field, like he has to kind of play like Micah Parsons too. Like that part has to catch up with the physical.
Is that possible?
I mean, like Micah Parsons? No.
No.
Like, there's one Micah Parsons in the league.
Well, no, Micah Parsons light, because Bickle thinks he can be like a Micah Parsons light.
I mean, light, is it possible? I mean, theoretically, sure, because he has the size. He's got the arm length, which really matters, like the ability to keep a blocker off of you and create distance to set up your moves. But, like, Micah Parsons has such a feel for pass rush at that trying to replicate that is the hardest part, and you see it. With Jamin, some of the struggles that he has in some of these drills. And, you know, obviously the pads are on today. And so we'll see once that gets added if that makes it better or worse for him. And also over time, like he's been doing this for a couple of spring practices and obviously now a couple of practices here in the summer. But if something clicks for him, could he figure out how to do this pass rush thing? Maybe. And I will say, like, if you were to take the 52 jersey off and put a 90 on him, he looks the part. Like, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's physical. So, like, there's a lot to like about Jamin Davis as a potential pass rusher. But you also have to realize that that is an incredibly skilled thing, and he has not practiced that skill for most of his life. And even if he's been a good blitzer at times off the ball, that is extremely different than lining up on the edge and being a pass rusher. So, like, is it possible? Maybe. Do I understand why they're doing it? Yes. Would I bet on it? Absolutely not, because it's just so hard to do.
So you got Frankie Louvu, you've got Wagner. What other linebackers right now in terms of the depth chart are we looking at? I mean, Jordan McGee, they drafted in the fifth round. But, you know, besides Louvu and Wagner, you know, KJ Henry's not a linebacker. He's more of an edge guy. They're trying to move Jamin Davis, like you said, to an edge. What other linebackers are we looking at?
So there's two main ones. McGee, who you mentioned, who they drafted. Yep. And I think the interesting thing about McGee, specific to Jamin, too, is they're using him off the edge some as well. Mm. So in some of these third down, you know, situations, like, they're lining him up. And then also, they're not going to play a ton of base defense with three linebackers on the field, but when they are, McGee is the third guy. Wow. And so the fact that, you know, when that's happened, that's already been the case, I think is telling, and part of the reason why it's a quote-unquote bad sign, if you will, for Jamin. The other guy is Pittman, who's the veteran that they signed, Anthony Pittman. And, you know, again, you guys mentioned it with Jamin off the top. Like, Jamin was brought in, drafted by the previous regime. Pittman was brought in by this regime specifically for whatever reasons they like him. And so I think with that, you just have to know that Jamin's already starting from kind of fifth on the depth chart. I think there's another guy named Michael Walker that's here, but I think Jamin's probably fifth going in. But again, like, this is early in camp, and, you know, injuries, you know, knock on wood, hopefully they don't happen, but these things do happen. So we'll see as they get out in pads here for the first time today. But those are kind of the names to watch. And then, obviously, what happens at edge? You know, if we're talking about Jamin as an edge, what happens with some of the young guys, the Andre Jones Jr., et cetera? And then what happens on special teams? Like, all this stuff is going to wind up mixing, and Jamin's going to be in kind of this last pot of players that they determine whether or not he ultimately stays in the long run.
So let's talk about the receivers. Is McCaffrey popping for you right now?
I've actually been a little bit of a quieter camp than I expected. Luke had a great spring. You know, he was one of these guys that just kept making plays. But I do think they've been impressed generally by, like, the process with him. I think that they've seen a polish on his routes that is even greater than what he had at Rice. I mean, remember, this is a guy that's converted quarterback. So he's only been playing the receiver position for a couple years. He gets up this higher level of coaching, and I think he's really taken to it well. His work ethic's nuts. You know, he works every single day after practice. He's with Daniels here at 5:45 in the morning. You know, we heard about all that during the spring nonstop. So I think they're still extraordinarily high on Luke McCaffrey, and I'd imagine that he will continue to make some plays as camp goes here. And we'll see, obviously, you know, today some of the physicality. We talk about the physicality with the pads going on the line, but, you know, how do you get off of jams and things like that? We'll get to see how Luke McCaffrey's progressed in that area today.
Craig, kind of a jumbled mess in that wideout room outside of the top two or three. You've got Deami Brown. He's battling with guys like Olamide Zaccheaus, Demir Byrd. Dax Milne is still a holdover. Like, if I'm Deami Brown, I got picked by the former regime. Like, I better have a standout camp.
I'm a little worried,
to make the final 53.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When we did the wide receiver positional group review on my show, I think there was 9 guys that I could have made a legitimate case for. They could potentially make the team. I'll throw one other name in with it, which is Bryson Tremaine. The second-year guy out of Stanford was on the practice squad last year. And the reason I specifically mentioned Bryson in regards to Diami is those two were both really good special teams players. You know, Diami's had a huge struggle producing as a receiver, not trying to tell anybody differently. But he's been a very, very good special teams player, and he's a very good blocker. And so as a fourth or fifth receiver, that stuff matters. And that's what's going to make you, you know, get you on the team. And so if Tremaine, who's a little bit bigger, 6'4", can potentially come in and challenge for that, will block his face off and is a great special teams player and can be more productive as a receiver and gives them something else in the room in terms of height that they don't have, where they've got some speed in the room, which is obviously what Diami theoretically brings, that could be really a huge factor. Zacchaeus, you know, veteran they bring in. Obviously McCaffrey, I think, is a lock, is the draft pick. But there's a ton of guys. Mitchell Tinsley made this roster in camp last year, and he seems like, I don't know what his path to making the roster is this year outside of just being awesome in preseason games and showing that he's the, you know, step above as a receiver. So, Diami's, I don't think he's in trouble, but he's in the same position as a lot of these other guys. And I think specific to him and Jamin, by the way, they're in the last year of their contracts. So, like, if you cut them, it's not like you're having to eat dead money in years coming up. So it's going to come down to how well they play in the next couple of weeks of camp, how they play in the joint practices, how they play in the preseason games. But, yeah, Diami's definitely a bubble guy.
So I'm high on Eckler for obvious reasons. Last year, down year because of the injury, but in 21 and 22, he had a total touchdown combo of 38. Think about that. 38 touchdowns in 2 years running, rushing and receiving. How's he looked? From the highlights I've seen, he's popped a little bit. Does he look like he had an ankle injury at all? Does he look 100%? And then also with Robinson in front of him, how's he looked?
I think they both look really good. I think the thing with B-Rob that's really impressive that we saw last year in camp and then for some reason didn't see it in the regular season is his ability as a receiver is pretty high. Like, he can get out and line up in the slot and, like, route guys up. And you're like, wait, where was this last year once we got into the season? So Eckler's obviously got that. And I think the thing, too, you see the quickness with Eckler. They haven't done a lot of running yet because the pads haven't been on. I feel like a broken record. Sorry that I keep mentioning that. But, like, it is a huge, huge differentiator. But in the couple of team run periods they did last week with no pads, where they're just kind of working on the timing and things like that, he did pop a couple. And the O-line obviously deserves some credit for creating the hole, but the quickness, the timing, the ability to hit the hole at the right time, clearly a veteran who's done this before, who's got a feel for it. And then you see the receiving stuff. And I think the other thing that we'll notice big time with Eckler, hopefully this season, is he's a tremendous pass protector, one of the best in the league as a pass blocker. So on those third down situations, can he go out and get out in space and hopefully pick you up a first down as a receiver? Yes, but he can also be a guy who, if you got to change the protection, stay in, you can rely on him to pick up a blitzer, which could get Jaden Daniels that extra second of time to find Terry or whoever else down the field. So I think you've seen everything that you want from Eckler so far. It's early, and I think that things will pick up in a big way for him over these next couple of practices.
Joined by Craig Hoffman from Team 980. So the best way I can describe Jahan Dotson's sophomore campaign from last year was just bizarre. I don't know if he was just in Bieniemy's doghouse or his rotation of receivers just had Dotson as the odd man out. I'm expecting a bounce back year from Dotson. How's he looked so far in camp? And do you think he could be a guy that can catch 55, 60, 65 balls in this offense?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, I agree with you, Cakes. Like, last year was bizarre, not just because he didn't really produce that much, but because he looks so good in the spring. I mean, I remember Logan and I talking on Take Command about how we thought he could have a 1,000-yard season last year, might have an 1,100-yard season because he was catching everything. He was seemingly always open. He was seemingly Sam Howell's favorite target. And they get into the season, and he just wasn't productive at all. And I think part of it is, you know, once you get into the actual other defenses, you know, well, I guess that was one thing, right? He got to face other defenses. He caught all those balls in camps on a commander secondary. It turns out it was historically bad. So that seems relevant. But also, you know, his timing and so some of the things that happen when you're really playing football versus playing camp football, getting off of jams and taking contact, he did not excel in that stuff last year. And I think the standard is just so much higher from the coaches this year that hopefully he can work through some of that. He has been a little bit quiet, I would say, so far during camp. But again, they've only done so much teamwork been a lot of individual, a lot of kind of situational work. And I'm curious to see if they get into the teamwork over these next couple of weeks, if his production picks up in camp and that ultimately translates to the season.
Craig, so when we talk to listeners to, you know, to kind of look forward to the opening week and even the preseason, they're really jacked up, obviously, because of, you know, Snyder's gone, new ownership, Daniels is here. Is the media feeling like the new energy as well, like the fans are?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we're all checking ourselves. You know, those of us that are out here are kind of like, this is different in a way that seems significant. The energy is different. The vibes are different. Just the kind of, you know, I'll use a word that they use a lot, the intentionality of everything. Like, every drill has a point. You know, it's kind of easy to see. The coaching is definitely so much better. You know, I've talked about this before, but last year we all kind of were like, oh, wow, look at Bienemy coaching them hard. He's yelling at everybody. Nobody's safe. And it's like, well, actually, it's because nobody knew what they were doing. They did a terrible job in the meeting rooms, and nobody had a clue what was supposed to happen. This year, like, everyone's on top of it. It's just a very, very different camp. But we've all been around here long enough and seen this before and seen glimpses or flashes of whether it's different or what we think is better, and then seen it turn into crap, you know, once the fall comes around. So I think we're all kind of like, yes, this is different, trying to be more objective about it, not put a good or bad on it. But it certainly is different in ways that, for me, you know, my opinion, I think it's significantly better. And again, the talent is going to have to eventually get onto this roster to win big.
Right.
And that's a multi-year project. But I do think that they will be competitive in a way this year that they absolutely were not last year. And that goes to kind of the new, you know, you want to call it the vibes, whatever, but the way that they are going about their business.
Is Kingsbury talking to the media? You don't see him much.
He has not yet. Both coordinators at some point during camp will do podium sessions. But yeah. Eclipse, I mean, we've asked to talk to him. Like, I've asked to talk to him for a one-on-one interview. And, you know, they're politely like, yeah, Cliff's not really doing one-on-ones right now. I'm sure that he'll do one or two, and maybe you'll see a story from Kime or Nikki or whoever. But in terms of, like, sitting down for an interview, he's not really focused on, like, oh, I got to raise my profile. Oh, right. I got to do this. I got to do that. I just want to coach. And I think that's great because he is for the – you know, we had Zach Ertz on Take Command, who was obviously with him in Arizona. And he's like, you know, for all the three-piece suits and stuff, that dude is a grinder. And that's kind of what my impression of Cliff has been.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because didn't we hear his meetings were short, but he's a grinder?
Yeah. So the story behind that is, like, he just kind of realized that this is a new generation of player and that their attention spans are only so long. And so he's like, rather than fight it, how do I get them what they need to know and make sure they retain the information in a digestible way? And so he found ways to do that in shorter meetings, and that was kind of his thing. It's like, hey, everyone put your phone outside, come into the meeting, get your job done. This was in Arizona. I don't know how much of this is carried over here. I can ask around today for sure. But, like, put your phone outside, don't bring it into the meeting. You'll be back out to your phone in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, however long the meeting was. And that worked for players.
Smart.
New way of doing it.
New way of thinking. Like, I saw Sean McVay said his 18-hour days are done, that he had devalued sleep, and he's valuing sleep because sleep affects decision-making and everything. And he was like, just no reason for an 18-hour day.
No, 100%. I mean, the research on sleep, I mean, this gets into actually like a pet hobby of mine of knowing way too much about sleep. But it, like, creativity, you know, your mood, so how you actually interact with people, which is obviously an essential part of coaching, productivity, like, you are so much better off just going to sleep and then waking up, and then you'll solve the problem in half the time rather than trying to grind, you know, pull the all-nighter or wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever. I think Cliff's still like a 4 a.m. guy, but I do think that, like, that kind of, like, quote unquote old school, for lack of a better word, way of coaching, people have realized it's actually not as effective. And so both mixing with kind of the new generation of player and looking at the sports science, if you will, of how humans actually most efficiently operate, a lot of these guys have changed the way they do business.
So they're going full pads today. What are you most looking forward to watching practice today?
I mean, I definitely think the O-line has to be it, right? We've been waiting all offseason to see this. You know, for as much as we've seen of the corners and we've seen of some of these other positions that are interesting for battles and who's the starter and whatever, you just don't get that same feel on the line. So I'm definitely looking forward to see what Brandon Coleman can do, you know, looking at what Cornelius Lucas can do, Trent Scott all battling for that left tackle spot. How does Allegretti look trying to lock down that left guard spot? So O-line for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Seehoff, good stuff. That's Craig Hoffman. You can listen to him on the Team 980. Thanks, pal.
You got it, Steve.
Yep.
Have fun
today. Thanks, Craig.
little bit later this hour, coming up at 9:45, your chance to win tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park with some great musical acts, which we were talking about earlier. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In our conversation with Craig Hoffman, I put up the Junkies poll of the day presented by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth. Love throughout the DMV. Will Jamie Davis make the roster? Two choices, simple. Yes, he's a first round pick. They're not going to cut him. Or no, old regime's pick. I think there is something where a new regime likes to get rid of the old guys.
I agree with that. I'm leaning towards he makes the roster, but I'm praying he doesn't, because EB just is so, he's so in the tank and going so hard with Jamin Davis propaganda that it would entertain me to no end.
Was there a lot of Jamin Davis propaganda last week?
Yeah, he was going. It's been
all
a steady drumbeat for almost
because he heard Dan Quinn talking about Jamin Davis and maybe his possible new role. I don't think he ever mentioned Micah, but he talked about his new role of being an edge rusher. And so, of course, Bickle was all in on that.
Eric,
patty machine. I called it.
Eric said that he thinks Jamin could be Micah like.
And then he also laughter amongst the room. And then
he went out on a limb and said he could see Jamin having 8 sacks this year.
Yeah, he did say 8.
Which would be a career high for him. And look,
they would take that.
If you're going to turn him into just a sack specialist, he better have 7 or 8 sacks. Yeah. Or else, what else is he doing on the roster?
He's not
playing linebacker.
But if Jamin gets cut, okay, if Jamin ends up getting cut or missing the roster or whatever,
right?
It would be fun. It would be fun, obviously. Because the amount of teasing and joning would be off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would be scared because Eric would probably never make a proclamation ever again.
No, he would be stung by it initially, but then of course he's gonna glom onto somebody.
He already thinks everyone attacks him. Just wait until Jamin gets cut.
No, what you need is we need Jamin to get cut. Sam Howell to get cut,
okay,
and Wentz to get cut. That would be the Holy Grail.
Holy Trinity.
Wentz is in Kansas City.
He's in Kansas City.
He's going to get a ring as Patrick Mahomes' backup. He's going to be a Super Bowl champion.
The Chiefs going to win again. There's a good chance.
I mean, they're probably the odds on favor right now to three-peat.
Well, he already has a big silly ring.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. He's got one in Philly. Nick Foles hooked him up.
That's a good point. So, He's gonna have 2 Super Bowl rings, and he didn't earn either one of them.
Well, you never know. Maybe he'll take over for Patrick Mahomes and lead him to the Super Bowl.
It is. It isn't.
He played in the regular season.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Okay, but he wasn't part of the playoff run.
Okay, but he's the one that got them to the playoffs.
He gets a modicum of credit, a little bit.
I mean, I can't. That's wild. Cakes would think that.
I've never heard of his competition for a backup in Kansas City. Has anyone ever heard the name Chris Ola Duncan?
I have not.
Never. See, where did he go? He went to South Dakota State. Nope. Never heard of him.
He wasn't on my college football fantasy team.
Am I doing that again? Am I doing another college fantasy
sure
football
team? Sure you will, because Bodie will send an invite.
I think I've nipped that in the bud where right. I used to have two or three, and I was like, this is madness.
Speaking of quarterbacks, a bunch of them are getting paid.
Yeah.
And wanted to play a game with you guys based on the quarterbacks who are just getting paid.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I want to see if you guys can close out the list of the top 10 quarterbacks being paid right now.
Is this annual? Is this annual salary or total contracts? Annual salary, I assume.
Annual salary.
All right. So we'll go tit for tat until we miss.
All right. Well,
and you can tell us what number they are on the list.
All right. I'll go Burrow.
All right, what number is he?
Because we talked about him earlier.
Number two. So Jordan Love's making $55 million. He signed a four-year, $220 million deal, $155 guaranteed.
All right, so Joe Burrow, number two on the list.
Oh, Burrow's two.
Burrow's, his average salary is the same, $55 million. His guarantee, though, $219 million guaranteed.
Pretty nice.
For a guy who's had a lot of injury problems, that is a nice deal.
I'm pretty sure this guy sneaks in the top 10. Trevor Lawrence just number signed a three. Fat deal.
Also average salary, $55 million. He signed a five-year, $275 million deal.
Very good.
$200 million in guarantees.
All right, Jason, you're up next.
Oh, so we got Burrow, we got Lawrence, and we've got Jordan Love. Did we mention Love?
Yes.
So Tua.
Tua, number four. It's always the new guys, right?
Well, of course.
He's a bargain.
Those are
$53.1 million a season.
Yeah.
That'll get tough.
All right. So two is four. We have two, three, four. Where did Love come in?
One.
Oh, he's at number one right now. All right. That's not going to last long. I mean, he's got to be down on the list now. Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is not in the top 10. He's number 11.
Oh, I'm eliminated.
Wow. Remember, he signed a 10-year $450 million deal with $141 million guaranteed. So he's making a paltry $45 million a season.
I didn't realize he's out of the top 10.
Bargain.
You had one out. You get another out.
Jason, Jason wins this if he gets it, just for bragging rights.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
If you get one,
I think this one's
top 10.
I think this one's easy. Lamar.
Lamar Jackson, number seven.
Very good.
$52 million a year.
All right.
He signed a $260 million deal with remember, he wanted the guarantees to be high. That's why it took so long. $185 million guaranteed.
All right. I think this guy's on the list because he just re-upped. Jared Goff has to be top 10.
Goff's number five.
Okay.
To all the recent guys, he's making 53.
So we're missing four guys. We've got six down, four to go. All right.
Oh, I know one of them.
I got to think this one's on there. Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray sneaks in at number nine.
Ooh.
$46 million.
Now it's getting tough.
Don't you feel like this year's a prove-it year for Kyler?
100%. 100%.
I'm not sold on him.
I like his weapons. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride at tight end.
He's got to become the guy of, you know, what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
When you're coming off the injury, everyone's doubting you. But he's got to get better as a passer, too.
And the team hasn't won.
Yeah, I know. But now he's got a stud receiver he can throw to. All right, so we've got 7 out of 10 down.
I'm going to grasp. Right. Is my man Kirky in the top 10?
He is not.
Oh,
number 12. Number 12.
This is devastating.
He saw his guarantee is only $90 million.
Kirk
That's
is not
peanuts
in.
Nowadays.
Kirk is not in Mahomes.
But he is making $45 million a year. Right. So don't cry for Kirk.
Oh, I know one.
I'm just trying to think of guys who've signed.
You can go ahead.
Cakes loves to say I know one.
I'm stewing and ruining.
This is a stab. I don't know if he's.
I'm missing a huge one. I know who it is.
I'm going to say Herbert.
Justin Herbert, number six.
All right, I know this guy's
he's
on
six.
The list.
Okay, one, two, three, four, five,
he's
six.
Making $52.5 million. $218 million in guarantees.
I mean, this guy shouldn't be on the list because Mike Marr is a better quarterback. Deshaun Watson.
Yes, number 10.
All right.
Deshaun, talk about a prove it year. $46 million a year. He signed a 5-year, $230 million deal, all of it guaranteed. Oh,
so we have Love, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence,
missing one guy.
Goff, Herbert, Lamar, blank, Kyler, Deshaun.
I think this is the guy because he signed a contract last year. And he had a kind of a down year last year, but he scored a bunch of rushing touchdowns. Mr. Hurts.
You nailed
Jalen Hurts. There it is.
Jason, easily the winner
in
this game.
You win. You're the quarterback salary king.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but I mean, I got guys who are 11 and 12 on the list.
I would have guessed Mahomes. I don't know how he's not in top 10.
Well, I mean, he's
because he signed an old contract.
He's not going back to the Chiefs and do the same thing that Matt Stafford went to the Rams and said, look at all these losers getting these big fat deals.
It's coming.
Stafford got his deal sweetened.
Yeah.
Same thing is going to happen with Mahomes. He's going to go back to the Chiefs and say, come on, look, I'm three-time Super Bowl champion.
And then
I'm the best player in the game.
Josh Allen is 13.
Yep.
Oh, that's the other one, Josh Allen. I would have thought he was in the top
He's
10.
Just barely above Daniel Jones.
Right.
When did he sign his deal?
I want to say like two off seasons ago.
Oh, he's going to sign a mega deal.
He's getting lapped.
Yeah.
He's getting lapped by these guys now.
But when he signs, it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. He'll sign like a 3 or 4 year extension for huge
dollars. For $60 million a year.
Yeah. That's coming.
I think I'm going to request to start producing this show from the update studio.
All right.
I got to get out of this room.
Okay.
I got two idiots in here who are telling me it's a prove-it year for Justin Herbert.
Okay.
These are the two biggest Herbert haters on the planet, and I don't get it at all. Just because he hasn't been to the playoffs yet, Valdez
has
to suck.
No, he lost in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah.
He is 0-1.
He's overrated. He's had all these weapons. He's had Keenan Allen. He's had Mike Williams. Austin Eckler still can't win a playoff
game. I don't understand how Justin Herbert just skates through life in anonymity without any kind of pressure, without any kind of microscope on him.
I don't think it's a make it or break it because he's under a big deal, so he's obviously still the future. But this is a big deal. Now, it's a new ownership, new coaching staff, because Harbaugh, so maybe his role is going to change a little bit.
I hope he's good at handing the ball off to Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins.
But I would agree. I'm not going to call it a make or break it year or a prove it year, but, I mean, if he doesn't win a playoff game in year five.
Justin Herbert glazing is out of control.
Well, they're not expected to go to the playoffs right now.
Is it coming from those big lips right across from you?
They are rebooting.
All right, so in 2 years, if he's not back in the playoffs.
Okay, maybe. You're right.
All right. Then you signed that big deal, and your team's not expected to go to the playoffs? I mean, what kind of mid mentality is that for a team?
Hey, listen, jerk.
You're getting ganged up on them.
Jerky boy.
They're not in some division with a bunch of bad Ohio teams. They have the Chiefs. They have Thanos in their division. It's impossible.
You
ever heard of a wild card?
Who calls him Thanos? It's Thanos.
I think it's Thanos in the comics.
Oh, okay. Comic book guy.
Nerd. You know, I got a nerd mansplaining football to me.
All right, but here.
I'm sure.
But they also have the Raiders and the Broncos.
Yeah.
All right, that should be four wins.
Well, the Broncos have been bad for 5 minutes.
They're going to be. That should be two easy wins for the Chargers. And the Raiders aren't any good.
Drab's a Herbert apologist just because he said he was going to be good. That's why he's riding for his guy.
They had an idiot for a head coach. A legitimate idiot for a head coach who cost him 50% of their games. Not put that on Herbert.
I mean,
every other quarterback, it's they won, they lost. But not Herbert. It's the coach's fault. It's the division's fault. It's Thanos. Thanos's fault.
Who would you rather have, though, Valdez? Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, who's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
I would say, I don't know. You know what? Herbert might be injury prone.
Okay. Herbert or Tua?
Probably.
He doesn't want to say Herbert, but
I'm thinking. I'm
just
thinking.
Just say Tua. What are you doing?
I would rather have Tua.
You're hurting your
I'd rather have Tua. Tua, most accurate passer compared to
Hill. But you can't say that Herbert's injury prone. He's only missed.
I know. I'm tongue in cheek.
Oh, okay.
He's an AFC QB hater. He also thinks Joe Burrow sucks. Overrated.
Well, it's because of Lamar's in there.
Yeah. Right. Lamar gets comped to these guys, so he hates on everyone else.
No, I just didn't know Drab was a huge Chargers fan. That's all.
He is now.
He's a Herbert apologist.
He loves
Harbaugh. I discovered Justin Herbert when everyone was in fashion to dunk on him in the pre-draft.
You did discover him.
And I told everyone they were donks.
We never watched him in college. You're right.
No. I'm not saying you. the popular thing leading up to the NFL draft was to say Justin Herbert sucks, so overrated. He's a Buster-Rooney. Like every year, how
when
they
we did the mock draft, I said the Skins.
No, not you. The media in general.
All right. Well, we're
you
part
discovered
of the media.
Herbert. I discovered Koulibaly. We all have our finds. Okay?
You might want to take that one back.
Hey, it's early. He's like 20. How dare you?
But that
what's he doing for the French national team in the Olympics?
You know what? He did more than Jason Tatum did for the U.S. in the first game.
Just I don't know. I just don't understand. I don't understand how Justin Herbert gets zero scrutiny whatsoever and is always on everyone's top whatever list. Guy has no accomplishments besides filling up his stats.
And people forget they burned a first round pick last year on a wide receiver for him, Quentin Johnson out of TCU. Bum.
Well, that's not Herbert's fault.
Yeah, it's just a bad draft. That's poor personnel.
He's going to be better this year.
I also burned a high pick on Quentin Johnson in my Dynasty League. I regret that pick.
Just put that in the back of everyone's mind when you see everyone's lists come out and you see Herbert at the list.
Oh, now, Drew, I'm kind of rooting that Justin Herbert comes out in week one and throws for like 304 touchdowns. Shut that kangaroo court up in there.
He's only been in the league for 4 years, though, right?
Yes, 4 years.
I think Lamar's been in the league for 6. I looked up both their stats. He's almost thrown as many touchdowns as Lamar. I know Lamar is rookie season, didn't play a full season, but...
Have you ever heard rushing yards, JP?
I know, I have. I'm not saying he's better than Lamar, but I'm just saying, and his touchdown interception ratio is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Well, this is
his team just hasn't won in the playoffs.
He's a screen pass merchant.
Let me look here. Most touchdown passes by a quarterback in the first 4 seasons. Second all time, Justin Herbert.
Right, who's
Dan
won?
Marino.
You know, you want to clown on Kirk for hollow stats? Herbert's on the Mount Rushmore of hollow stats.
He's on Mount Pat the Stats.
Yeah, you know, throw 6,000 yards and go 8-8.
I didn't realize there was such a controversy brewing behind the glass.
Well, Mars joining in and just double ricking me.
I don't think it's that uncommon. My son hates on him too. Thinks he's overhyped.
Smart mind.
He's got to win playoff games. No, that's the way it works, right? You got to win playoff games. You can't just put up empty stats.
Yeah,
or you get the Kirk Cousins rap if he keeps at this pace, or it'll be like Matt Stafford before Super Bowl. Pre-Super Bowl, I mean, Jason used to say, Matthew Stafford, he stinks. He'll never win in the playoffs.
He was overrated. Right? He was overrated for a bad football team until he went to a better team with a better coach and he won. I give him props for that. I just want to look at the win total for the Chargers.
Oh, it can't be super high. 6.5 or 7.5 is my guess.
I'm going to guess 6.5.
I'm just trying to find Bilal Koulibaly's numbers.
I think he had
8.5.
Ooh, that is kind of high.
He had 3 points.
I know. He didn't have a lot, JP. 3 more points to Jason Tatum. I'm going to stick by that stat.
That is true.
3 more points than a guy that didn't play.
What did Wemby have?
What do you have, like 18, something like that?
He played well.
19.
So Chargers 8.5, and it's minus 150 on the over.
I'd go under.
Coming up next, your chance to win tickets to HF Festival 2024 here on the Junkies. All right, we're going to do the very popular Caller 10 game. Cakes, I don't have the read in front of me. I don't know what happened with
Caller 10, you're going to score a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park. The date, Saturday, September 21st. The bill features the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, and more. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. Caller 10 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. You win. Winning is fun.
Drabby,
try to win.
You're rooting for Danielle Collins today against Wozniacki. You're rooting for the U.S. women to cover 20.5 against Japan in hoops.
Okay, yes.
You're rooting for Canada tomorrow, men's hoops, over Australia just to win. You're also rooting for France to beat Japan, which is a lock. And Coco already beat whoever she played today. So $29 pays me $98.
It's pretty good.
If that happens.
That's like more
sounds
than
like
triple.
A lot of chalk in that parlay there.
Yeah.
You listed 8 things and it pays you out like 3-1.
Right.
Well, it's a 5-game parlay. Hold on. It's a 1, 2, 3. It's a 6-game parlay.
Man, you need a lot to go right.
Yeah. But I mean, but that's a good parlay if $28 is going to pay me $99.
It's a little more than 3-1.
I think all that can happen. I mean, Danielle Collins, I guess, is always dicey. I don't know much about Danielle Collins, but she's a pretty big favorite over Wozniacki. I saw Joker beating Nadal. Did he beat him in straights?
Yeah, Drav, I don't know. Drav hasn't been paying attention to the show. He's been watching on his new iPad.
He was watching the Joker match.
Yeah.
Oh, Drav got a new iPad over the weekend?
He's got a new iPad.
Drav, he's got a new toy? Look at that.
Yeah, he's rubbing it in all our faces.
How much does a new iPad go for these days?
You can get them pretty cheap. I had a... When you're big silly at Costco, you get a check at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I got two checks because of the credit card that I use there as well.
Good.
So I had like $340 to burn at Costco.
Perfect.
So I got last year's iPad.
Nice.
For $340?
No. I got the big silly 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, you definitely got the Apple Care.
I had to come out of pocket like $150.
Apple Care, how much that cost?
Apple Care? Are you kidding me? You think I paid for that?
Oh, man. If you drop that, there's a big spiderweb crack on it. You're going to be bitter.
All Drab talks about is how he sits in bed and watches his iPad, like Teresa.
That's like,
it's kind of life-changing.
Yeah.
We have an iPad that has to be 6 or 7 years old, and I don't use it. Isabella uses it sometimes to play Roblox, but it's gotten to the point where sometimes you power it up, and like 3 minutes later, it's out of juice. Like it's got some sort of power issue.
I dodged a big bullet this morning. There was definitely a Roblox on the B-Dub Parkway.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Right after my exit. Like I got on the exit, and I looked over my shoulder, and there are a billion cop cars.
Well, there was a crash.
Yeah, yeah. A crash. 200 yards behind where I merged on.
Oh, you got
onto
lucky.
Onto the parkway.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Got super lucky.
I know we talk about this every once in a while. When are these projects, like the GW Parkway and whatever is happening from Tyson's to the American Legion Bridge,
I don't know.
When are they going to be done?
I don't know. It seems like it's taking forever.
I would just say 10 years because I think that's basically what it took to finish 66 because we were driving on 66 for a long time. We're like, this is never going to get done.
Yep.
And it's done, and it's 10 plus years later. So I'm just going to say... 10 years, JP. The year 2034. Everything will be done. I wouldn't expect it before then.
I remember.
What exactly are they doing over on River Road? What are they doing?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't. Are they expanding it?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't work for VDOT.
I think they're expanding it. It appears there's going to be another lane.
And it appears they're
changing ramps.
Yeah, they're doing something over there.
Are they adding a new ramp somewhere?
It looks like it, but I can't figure it out.
But I was feeling all good. I got back from the Bahamas, Dulles. I'm driving. Looking forward to getting home, you know, before it turns dark. And then all of a sudden, Virginia, once you hit Tyson's.
During the weekend, for no real reason.
It's just because there's too many people. Mm-hmm. Too many people in the city.
I agree.
You should have seen how many people were coming back. It was a 13-mile backup from Ocean City yesterday to get onto the bridge. Now, I left. Matt, I botched it on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I left too late.
And I
hit traffic at the bridge.
That was my fault.
What'd
you end up getting Dr. Jack, by the way?
Got him a gift card to a...
Gift card.
He likes this Italian restaurant in downtown Easton called Scosa. I got him a gift card.
Nice.
But there was a 13-mile backup going from the beach to get to, going west. Think about that.
No. Disaster.
One time I was coming back and there was a jumper incident and it cost me like 3 hours.
Right,
right here on the fan. All right, we're going to do the very popular Caller 10 game. Cakes, I don't have the read in front of me. I don't know what happened with
Caller 10, you're going to score a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park. The date, Saturday, September 21st. The bill features the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, and more. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. Caller 10 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. You win. Winning is fun.
Drabby,
try to win.
You're rooting for Danielle Collins today against Wozniacki. you're rooting for the U.S. women to cover 20.5 against Japan in hoops.
Okay, yes.
You're rooting for Canada tomorrow, men's hoops, over Australia just to win. You're also rooting for France to beat Japan, which is a lock. And Coco already beat whoever she played today. So $29 pays me $98.
It's pretty good.
If that happens.
That's like more than
sounds like
triple.
A lot of chalk in that parlay there.
Yeah.
You listed 8 things and it pays you out like 3-1.
Right.
Well, it's a 5-game parlay. Hold on. It's a 1-2-3. It's a 6-game parlay.
Man, you need a lot to go right.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a good parlay if $28 is going to pay me $99.
It's a little more than 3-1.
I think all that can happen. I mean, Danielle Collins, I guess, is always dicey. I don't know much about Danielle Collins, but she's a pretty big favorite over Wozniacki. I saw Joker beating Nadal. Did he beat him in straights?
Yeah, Drav, I don't know. Drav hasn't been paying attention to the show. He's been watching on his new iPad.
He was watching the Joker match.
Yeah.
Oh, Drav got a new iPad over the weekend?
He's got a new iPad.
Drav, he's got a new toy? Look at that.
Yeah, he's rubbing in all our faces.
How much does a new iPad go for these days?
You can get them pretty cheap. I had a... When you're big silly at Costco, you get a check at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I got 2 checks because of the credit card that I use there as well.
Good.
So I had like $340 to burn at Costco.
Perfect.
So I got last year's iPad.
Nice.
For $340?
No. I got the big silly 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, you definitely got the Apple Care.
I had to come out of pocket like $150.
Apple Care, well, how much did that cost?
Apple Care. Are you kidding me? You think I paid for that?
Oh, man. If you drop that, there's a big spiderweb crack on it. You're going to be bitter.
All Drab talks about is how he sits in bed and watches his iPad, like Teresa.
That's like
it's kind of life-changing.
Yeah.
We have an iPad that has to be 6 or 7 years old, and I don't use it. Isabella uses it sometimes to play Roblox, but it's gotten to the point where sometimes you power it up, and like 3 minutes later, it's out of juice. Like, it's got some sort of power issue.
I dodged a big bullet this morning. There was definitely a Roblox on the B-Dub Parkway.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Right after my exit. Like, they were
shutting it down to like 7.
I got on the exit, and I looked over my shoulder, and there are a billion cop cars.
Well, there was a crash.
Yeah, a crash. 200 yards behind where I merged on.
Oh, you got
onto
lucky.
Onto the parkway.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Got super lucky.
I know we talk about this every once in a while. When are these projects like the GW Parkway and whatever is happening from Tyson's to the American Legion Bridge?
I don't know.
When are they going to be done?
I don't know. It seems like it's taking forever.
I would just say 10 years because I think that's basically what it took to finish 66 because we were driving on 66 for a long time. We're like, this is never going to get done.
Yep.
And it's done and it's 10 plus years later. So I'm just going to say 10 years, JP. The year 2034. Everything will be done. I wouldn't expect it before then.
What exactly are they doing over on River Road?
What are they doing?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't. Are they expanding it?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't work for VDOT.
I think they're expanding it. It appears there's going to be another lane.
Are they putting
And it appears they're changing ramps.
Yeah, they're doing something over there.
Are they adding a new ramp somewhere?
It looks like it, but I can't figure it out.
But I was feeling all good. I got back from the Bahamas, Dulles. I'm driving. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to getting home, you know, before it turns dark. And then all of a sudden, Virginia, right? You know, once you hit Tyson's.
During the weekend, for no real reason.
It's just because there's too many people. Mm-hmm. Too many people in the city.
I agree.
You should have seen how many people were coming back. It was a 13-mile backup from Ocean City yesterday to get onto the bridge. Now, I left. Matt, I botched it on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I left too late.
And
I hit traffic at the bridge.
That was my
fault.
What'd you end up getting Dr. Jack, by the way?
Got him a gift card to a
gift card.
Well, I mean, he likes this Italian restaurant in downtown Easton called Scosa. I got him a gift card.
Nice.
But there was a 13-mile backup going from the beach to get going west. Think about that.
Disaster.
One time I was coming back and there was a jumper incident and it cost me like 3 hours
right
here on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.